Pictures of Jesus' sacrifice. My righteous servant. Theme text: He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. Many details of the Messiah's life were prophetically foretold in the Hebrew Scriptures. An interesting question is, what did Jesus know about his sacrificial death ahead of time? His perfect knowledge of the Hebrew Scriptures suggested that he learned much of what would befall him. This is not to discount supernatural revelation. However, as we observe the countless prophetic details he was familiar with, we do not doubt that he knew what to expect and was prepared to face each experience. Here is a brief survey of what Jesus could have known about his sacrifice unto death and the source of the information. Jesus understood that it was God's purpose from the very beginning that he was to come to earth to suffer and die. Revelation 13:8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." 1 Peter 1:19 and 20. "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Ephesians 1 verse 4. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Acts 3:18, "But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled." Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." What Jesus foreknew about his death. First, the year. From Daniel 9:25 through 27, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." The word to restore and build Jerusalem went forth in 455 BC. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of the heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldst send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. 69 weeks times 7 equals 483 days. 483 days equals 483 years. 483 plus 455 BC equals 29 AD. Half the week equals 3.5 years. Jesus dies 29 AD plus 3.5 years, which equals 33 AD. Second, the month Nisan, the day, the 14th. Exodus chapter 12, verses 2 through 3 and 5 through 6. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb of an house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Third, the hour, 3 p.m. Exodus 12, verse 6, between the two evenings. Between the first evening, the beginning of the sun's descent at 12 noon, and the second evening, the setting of the sun at 6 p.m. See reprint 29:53. Fourth, that he would be crucified. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. John chapter 12, verse 32 and 33. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. Deuteronomy 21, verse 22 and 23. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. The standard mode of executing criminals in ancient Israel was stoning. But if the crime was especially heinous, the condemned was first stoned and then hanged on a tree to show that he was cursed by God. Being hung on a tree suggests that Jesus bore the Adamic curse for even the vilest offender. Hanging on a tree also indicated one was cursed under the law. This meant that Jesus also bore the curse of the law. Joshua 8:29. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Joshua 10:26. And afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Crucifixion, as the Romans later developed it, was known at the time of the law. Living under Roman control, Jesus would likely have linked the Deuteronomy text with the fact that his death would be by crucifixion. Another foreshadowing of our Lord's crucifixion is seen in the manner of sprinkling the blood of the bullock on the Day of Atonement. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat, on the east. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger 7 times. The words on and before suggest a vertical and horizontal movement, thus sprinkling the blood in the form of a cross. If this is correct, Jesus may not have picked up on it. Fifth, that he would suffer from dehydration, Exodus 12:9. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Water was explicitly forbidden in the preparation of the Passover lamb. In a typical crucifixion, the victim was lethally dehydrated. Sweating from the pain, swelling, and inflammation of the wounds was accompanied by fever and blood loss. These all contributed to severe dehydration. Jesus exhibited this when he spoke from the cross. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I thirst. The same issue was also prophesied, Psalm 69:21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. It is quite likely that dehydration was a contributing factor in his death. Sixth, that none of his bones would be broken, Exodus 12:46. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Numbers 9:12. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it, according to all the ordinances of the Passover they shall keep it. Psalm 34:20. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. John 19:36. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. The morning and the evening sacrifice. Seventh, that he would be on the cross from 9 a.m. until his death at 3 p.m. These two sacrifices were offered each day. The morning sacrifice offered at around 9 a.m. and the evening sacrifice was offered at 3 p.m. Exodus 29:38-42. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, between the evenings. And with the one lamb, a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb shalt offer at even, and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. Numbers 28:3-8. And thou shalt say unto them, this is the offering made by fire which ye shall offer unto the Lord, two lambs of the first year without spot day by day, for a continual burnt offering. And one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even, or between the evenings. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And the drink offering thereof shall be the fourth part of an hin for the one lamb, and the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering, and the other lamb shalt be offered in the evening. As the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Reprint 29:53. The day was again divided into two equal portions. From the rising of the sun until noon was the morning, and after that, until the sun had gone down, was the evening. Again, the morning and the evening were divided each into two equal parts, for the regulation of the morning and evening sacrifices and prayers. The morning sacrifice and prayer was allowed to be offered at any time between the rising of the sun and the third hour, that is, 9 a.m., and the evening sacrifice and prayer at any time during the first evening, Hebrew, Erev Katan, the short or lesser evening, i.e., the noon until ninth hour, or 3 p.m., and from that time until sun setting, is called in Hebrew, Erev Gadol, that is, the greater evening. It was between these two evenings that the Paschal Lamb was to be slain, and so was Jesus, the antitype, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world as recorded. These animals were accompanied by the following. A tenth deal of flour, which is one omer, the body of Christ. Three hin of olive oil, that is, the Holy Spirit. Three hin of wine, to make glad the heart of man, joy. the addition of bread and wine connects quite dramatically with the bread and wine of the memorial service instituted by the Lord. 8th, that his garment would be taken. Psalms 22, verse 18. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Matthew 27:35. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. There are other likely prophecies that foreshadowed the experiences of Jesus. As a result, Jesus knew the nature and details of what he was to undergo, but also controlled it according to the scriptures. He submitted to the prophesied string of events leading to his crucifixion. To know beforehand and yet to voluntarily submit with joy testifies to Jesus' love for and dedication to his heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul identifies Jesus as our high priest, pointing to another fulfillment of prophecy. John 19:23. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. This detail was seen in the linen garment of the high priest, which was woven without seams. Exodus 39:27. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons. Linen represents righteousness, Revelation 19:8, and was a symbol of the purity of the sacrificing high priest. Jesus Christ fulfills to the very letter the symbol of the high priest by wearing the sacrificial garments of his priesthood. Thus, Jesus fulfills that beautiful type and demonstrates that he is the antitypical great high priest, our high priest, and example of total consecration to Jehovah's will. How grateful we are to know that the many aspects of our Lord's life were predetermined and will result in blessing of all the families of the earth.